This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Hello again, everybody. May 17th here, This Day in History, lineupmedia.fm. Tony Hubert, Armand Kachigian with you as we bring you the events, the births, the deaths, and everything in between that occurred throughout the annals of time on May the 17th. Yeah. Armand, can I get you a coffee?
Yeah, well, my stock portfolio died today.
Can I ask you, this May 17th, I woke up to the news that the stock market wasn't crashing, but when I woke up, it was down nearly 200 points this morning.
400.
It's now 400.
Yeah. So let's get this folly over with.
Almighty.
So I can go cut my throat.
You don't need to cut your throat.
Well,
stay in. Stocks go up, stocks go down, but over the long haul.
No, they only go down.
Over the long haul, they tend to go up. Well, maybe not yours, but
let's abbreviate this.
Oh, come on. Let's be happy. Now, here's something I got to tell you. I'm tired.
This makes me happy.
I'm tired of it. Is there a day in history that Henry VIII didn't do something? Because on this date, the 17th of May, 1536, his marriage to Anne Boleyn, it's annulled. Never happened.
Good. Off with her head.
Poor Anne.
And I hope his ulcer festers, too.
Now, here are two guys that I like that come along in 1673.
I like the furrier. I don't like the priest.
Yeah. Now, I always get this one confused. The priest is
Père Marquette, Father Marquette.
Father Marquette.
Easy.
Louis Joliet is your other guy. So, Joliet and Marquette, they begin exploring the Mississippi River. Now, full disclosure, we do this show out of the St. Louis area. About a 30-minute drive from here, you can see the marker where they came out of the Illinois River and sort of made landfall and then made their way around the Mississippi.
It's dull and tedious. Don't see it.
It's a marker.
Yeah,
it's a pretty drive.
It's a marker.
They got good fried fish up there in that area. Grafton. You can appreciate that.
Not today, I don't.
Not today?
All right. I don't appreciate anything.
Uh-oh. Speaking of the stock exchange.
Yeah.
The NYSE formed on
this date. I
don't want
to talk about it.
In 1792. I do have a question for you. It's formed.
I want to talk about the NASDAQ.
Under the Buttonwood Agreement. Any color on the Buttonwood Agreement?
Buttonwood's a tree. It was on Wall Street. That's what that was all about.
So they agreed at the tree on Wall Street.
28 stock traders got together. We'd all been better off if they killed each other.
Now, the next one I think you'll really enjoy.
Yeah.
1859.
I'm overjoyed.
Let's go down under. Let's go to Melbourne. Melbourne, Australia. The Melbourne Football Club codified the first rules of Australian rules football, which I love to watch.
38 men on each team.
Kicking a white oval ball, jumping up in the air.
No rules. Couple of poles.
Hard contact.
No pads, no helmets.
It's a man's sport.
Real men.
You ever played that?
No,
I haven't. I'd like to
right now.
Yeah.
With my stockbroker.
1875, one of the great trivia questions in sports. Your first winner of the first Kentucky Derby.
Well, that's rather redundant, isn't it? How could it be the second winner of the first Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, good point.
Aristides.
Yeah. Now,
that's right.
Another great bar question if you want to earn $5. Bet you can't name the horse to win the Kentucky Derby twice.
Well, they say that's impossible.
Do you have an answer?
No.
Okay. Because people will say Sunday Silence. No.
How can
Secretariat? No. That's the first answer you'll get. Secretariat. He won it twice. No.
Only 3-year-olds can run the race.
Exactly. No one's won it twice.
Of course.
It's a trick question.
Three fillies have won.
Three fillies. Pleasant Colony, I think, was one. Is that right?
Genuine Risk.
I remember that.
Winning Colors.
Regret. 1988.
Regret.
Citation, never won two derbies. Northern Dancer, never won two derbies.
No.
Ali Sheba.
Northern Dancer never won one derby.
Yeah, it did, 1964.
Well, Dancer's Image was the one then, I guess. They took it away.
Yeah. That
was Northern Dancer's whatever.
Northern Dancer turned into one of the great stud horses of all time, actually.
Yeah, well, Should have been taking that. Was it Benzoprene? Where the hell they gave a thing?
Poor horse.
The longest long shot to win, Danarail, 91-1. It's of course 10 furlongs.
You ever been to
mile and
Derby?
A quarter? Yeah, I have.
How many times?
I went with Ocho Man.
Yeah, how do you like that?
It was fun.
What year did you go?
He mooned a group of a bus full of kids.
Why would
it? Hilarious. Anyway, two five-time winners, Arcaro and Hartack.
Yes, Eddie Arcaro. Remember Willie Shoemaker's win back in?
I think he won four.
On Ferdinand.
He's the oldest, I believe.
Yeah,
to win.
He was the oldest to win it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know what happened to Ferdinand?
I hope they shot him.
No, Japanese buffet.
Oh, good.
I'm
even
not
better.
Even kidding.
Well, that's fine.
He was sold, and then
them. I'm not in a mood for any good endings today. I want everyone dead.
And after he
nihilism.
Became after his let's well no here I'll say it it's horse breeding. What the hell? After his sperm count diminished in later years, and he was no longer
how it feels.
A valuable sire or a productive sire.
Not a dame.
They sent him. Yeah, they sent him to the horse factory.
Good.
A Kentucky Derby winner having to go through.
All right. No tears.
No, it's horrible. 1902. Interesting device is found. And I've seen this. I've seen shows on
first,
this.
First, 1900, the relief of Moff King, second Boer War. You always leave out.
I hate the Boer War.
Yeah, well, tough shit.
It's such a bore.
Well, we won.
Who's we?
The Boers.
Oh, okay. I didn't
but
know
we
you
didn't
were
win
a
Boer.
I didn't know you were a Boer.
Yeah,
B-O-R.
I was on the
Boer B-O-E-R.
A couple of guys were there. Lord Edward Cecil, who was Marquess of Salisbury's son. Marquess of Salisbury being the prime minister.
Yeah.
And then Baden-Powell was actually the leader. You don't know who he is, of course.
I've heard the name Baden-Powell.
Originator of the Boy Scouts.
Ah, okay.
Robert, I think. Robert Baden-Powell.
All right.
After 217 days, these guys have been, you know, kind of, although they take Sundays off so they can play cricket, polo.
Well,
both sides agreed to that.
Yeah,
picnics.
Of course.
And then with typical English sang-froid.
Yes.
Yeah. The, like I said, after almost a year of being under constant siege, they relieved it, and one of the British saw the relief. Oh, yes, I heard you were knocking about. That's how he reacted to being having the siege relieved.
I heard you were knocking
about. Yeah, I wish I had that kind of cold blood when I lose thousands of dollars in a day.
God. You haven't lost it. It can rebound.
Sure.
It can rebound.
Yeah, right.
Let's pick up your spirits.
It's because of this stupid bullshit with Comey.
Stop. No, that's
well, I'm telling you. That's what it
is.
That's
his problem.
It's ridiculous.
That's the
nonsense.
POTUS's problem. That ain't my problem.
No, that's the country's problem.
No, it's not my problem.
Uh-huh.
We're all going to have great business. That's what
alleged
I was told.
A memo about a conversation.
I'm waiting
right.
for the great business to start. Anytime now.
Let's how does this help? How does this help business or the country? Nonsense like this. All right.
Greek archaeologist Valerius Stais?
I don't know why you include this.
Well,
this
it's a really
this
cool
is nonsense on the face of it.
They say because I agree with you. They say they discovered the anti-Cathera mechanism, which they did. You can see it. I mean, you can Google this and see it. And it's an interesting device, you know, Bronze Age thing. And they call it an ancient mechanical analog computer. Okay.
Yeah.
I call it a piece of metal that's got a lot of encrusted stuff on it, and it may be something. I don't know what the hell it is.
Sure.
Do you?
Yeah. I can you get the natural logarithm of pi on that thing?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think you had
good
to
luck.
Have a conversion table or a book, you know?
Right.
Like you had to have the book that goes with it, and there would be a guy to sell you that
analog
book.
Analog computer. Nonsense.
Analog computer sort of a misnomer.
I don't know why. Why would it be?
Well, I mean, it's not. I mean,
it's not digital, right?
When I think of computers, I think it's doing all the work for you, not that you're inputting everything.
Some of these things are mechanical, actually.
It is.
Turn a little thing and
yeah,
you had
to. Yeah, you had to spin.
I don't know if they do.
1939, first baseball game televised. In fact, the first televised sporting event, a collegiate ball game in New York City. Strange that it would be a collegiate game. Columbia Lions, Princeton Tigers. Back
who,
when the Ivy
won.
League kind of mattered. I don't know. Now, you know
unusual.
Who you know who went to Columbia?
You're missing your facts again.
You know who went to Columbia? Lou Gehrig.
That's true. I thought his mother thought he was going to Harvard.
That's
remember?
Right. That's right.
At least in the movie.
Yep. Now, why am I remissing my facts?
Because you don't know who won the damn game.
It's Ivy League baseball. Who cares?
I do.
Oh, okay. If it was Ivy League wrestling, I'd find out the winner for you. 1954, Brown versus the Board of Education of
who won?
Topeka, Kansas.
There were five separate cases, apparently, and Thurgood Marshall made his bones on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Unanimous decision.
Do you know the other cases off the top of your head?
No, they were like, I don't think they have names. I think they're just five. I don't know. Maybe they did. I don't know who they were.
Did they
replace Plessy versus Ferguson and separate but equal and all that, which is de facto what we have now anyway. If you look, like 80% of inner city schools are segregated, and you know, so it really means
well,
nothing.
Well, yeah, statistically, yeah.
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 Yeah. There's a lot of minorities at John Burroughs, right, over in St. Louis? Except that running back for Dallas is out there.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, he went there. So if you can run a 4.240, I guess you get in. Otherwise, you have to be white, preferably Jewish. That's my comment today. I'm not in the mood to brook any.
Let me go with this. Preferably paying.
Yeah, well, preferably rich.
Yeah, that's a real
they don't really care. That's true. They don't distinguish against any minority as long as you have money.
Any minority you want as long as that check clears.
Yep, about $23,000 a year.
That is expensive. I contemplated. I did.
That's the thing to do about it.
I contemplated.
Don't pay it.
And then I looked at my wife and I looked at what we had in our house and I thought, I like some of this stuff. Yeah. I think we should keep it.
Right.
And we have a fine public institution in our
hometown. And you sent her to Vaterot.
And we sent her to Vaterot. Now she's a
dental assistant.
Now she's a dental assistant.
It's a good living. Nothing wrong with it.
1973, the Watergate scandal. The televised hearings begin on this date, May 17th, in the United States Senate.
Who was that judge? Well, Sirica, wasn't it? No, the guy, was it Sirica?
Well, when you say judge in a Senate hearing, what?
No, not the Senate hearing. No, the Watergate. This isn't a, well, like, I don't know.
The judge in,
not
the judge
I don't know. I don't, the but judge in the
in case. The burglars that heard the burglar
I guess.
Trial?
Yeah, because he was,
I do not remember his name.
Well, he was a senator, I guess. I don't know. I guess it must have been in the Senate hearing. Anyway, I read his book. It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I'll look it up. Yeah, okay. A long time ago, 25
get ready
years.
For this again, folks. It's coming.
yeah,
I can't
right.
stop it.
No. You want to bet? I'd like to double. I'd like to make my money back today.
Yeah.
$50 over this.
Over this?
This nonsense.
No, lunch, which you still won't go to.
Well,
I'm happy to buy
you
lunch.
We'll go separately. That's the only way to do it.
Now, I got a question on this next one, because I don't know what the hell the Symbionese Symbionese Liberation
They're
Army
the
is.
They're the guys that snatched Patty Hearst.
I know they snatched Patty Hearst, but where the hell is Symbion?
I don't know. I don't know where they got the name, but yeah.
That's what
primarily
threw me.
Black, I believe, weren't they?
Well, the police in Los Angeles raid the
Symbionese Liberation
Army's headquarters, and they kill six members, including Camilla Hall. That was in 1974. And yes, they did nab Patty Hearst.
Yep.
1983, Lebanon, Israel. The United States signs an agreement on the Israeli withdrawal from Lebanon. Which essentially means after that point,
anarchy and Hamas. Are they Hezbollah or Hamas? Hamas, I think, is Lebanon, isn't it? I don't know. More terrorism.
Well, and Israel just, okay, you want us out? Yeah, we're out. Now we'll just launch rockets in.
Yeah.
Well, fair enough.
These poor people going for peace, and they'll never get it.
Did you spend any time in Lebanon?
No, my dad did, though. In fact,
did your dad grow up in Lebanon?
I think my grandfather was from there.
Okay.
So he says a beautiful country.
One of the most beautiful countries, Beirut, the pearl of the Mediterranean.
This.
What a sad story. And there are so many great Lebanese Americans, man.
Ocho Man, for one.
Well, yeah. I mean, Ocho Man grew up in Beirut, right?
That's
before
right.
we moved to New York. Yep. You can hear Ocho Man on a couple shows here on lineupmedia.fm. The Behind the Eight Ball podcast, Race Day at Fairmont Park. Ocho Man loves the ponies, and he loves his Dallas Cowboys. If you're a football fan, Cowboys podcast, you can check them out. Cowboys podcast.
Yeah, long-suffering contingent there.
So we're halfway through the events. Not a lot of great events today, folks. Let's be honest, okay? But you're going to enjoy the birthdays. 1682, dyslexia. Bartholomew Roberts, the Welsh pirate. Happy birthday.
Yeah, I hope he killed a lot of
happy
people.
Happy birthday, Bart. I love a good pirate, man.
Good plunder and rapine.
Not as good as a privateer, but I still respect
better.
The deal.
Why give half of it to the crown?
Well, I know.
Keep it.
Well, because you don't get strung up and drawn and quartered. If you're a privateer, you got a license.
How do you know?
Well,
it depends on who catches
you. Unless you get caught by the wrong side.
Yeah.
1836. This is up your alley.
Yeah.
And I want to know how much you studied him.
I thought you had games.
The Austrian American, the chess master, Wilhelm Steinitz.
Yeah, first world champion, undisputed, although he never played Morphy.
How do you become the first undisputed world champion?
It wasn't easy back in the 19th century.
Is this like anything like boxing with different organizations? Or
that's what I'm saying. I don't know. They had a lot of claims. We beat Adolf Anderson. They made him champ.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, he didn't play Morphy, but Morphy, I think, was a little past his prime by then. They called him the Austrian Morphy, by the way.
Okay.
Paul Morphy from New Orleans. But I think Morphy would have beaten him. But anyway, he won every match from 1862 to 1892. That's pretty good.
He won every competition match,
every match for 30 years?
Yep.
And then, of course, that included beating Zukertort.
Does that mean, okay.
And Chigorin.
In chess, does that mean, did he ever, in a match, did he ever lose a game?
Sure, he lost games. He didn't lose a match.
He didn't lose a match.
I won every tennis match, but I lost games.
Sure.
Everybody thought Zukertort was better, but he kicked his ass.
What's the best thing about Steinitz in terms of chess philosophy?
Well, Zukertort, he was like Steinitz was more of a positional player, apparently, although he had flashes of attacking brilliance. Check his games out on whatever. They got all kinds of sites.
Yeah, you can watch him move by move. Yeah.
Poor guy got syphilis, though, and never was quite the same after that.
How much did Fischer borrow from Steinitz?
This is the Dark Ages compared to.
Really?
Yeah, this is a century before he played. So.
Well, nearly. Yeah.
So anyway.
But I mean,
How
does chess get aggressively better? I mean, the board is the board.
All right, we discussed this. There's different, there are different philosophies.
Because it's not like chess got bigger, better, stronger.
They started taking steroids.
Okay. Oh, well, okay.
Okay, so drugs.
So the queen started looking a little muscular.
They're taking Ritalin.
Not only could she move in every direction on the board, she could move off the board and come back.
You're not funny today.
No, but come on, it's chess.
Yeah, right.
I don't understand how you get better, stronger, faster.
We had this debate weeks ago.
It's worth having again.
Let's talk politics.
Well, let's talk parasites.
I don't know who this is. Yeah.
Well, I thought you might know. Sal Adler?
Saul Adler, I guess. Belarusian. What did you put this guy on here for?
I thought you might know.
Because he's a parasitologist?
Yes. Deals with parasites.
I gathered. Proceed with the next.
Cool Papa Bell.
Wasting time again.
Happy birthday, 1903. Cool Papa Bell.
Right. Isn't he the one you turn up? Give us.
There it is. There,
go ahead. You say it.
Okay, so fast that.
Probably apocryphal.
So fast that when I turn off the lights to the bedroom, be in bed under the covers before the lights go out.
Yeah. Okay. If you believe that.
Of course.
I got some stock to sell you.
It's worthless anyway. A very interesting Major League Baseball player in the 1920s and 30s, given the opportunity because of that speed. I don't know how he would have hit against quote-unquote Major League pitching. I'm assuming the pitching in the Negro Leagues was on par with their white counterparts. You have to, right?
We can only theorize.
But he did play a lot in St. Louis, played for St. Louis Stars. Amongst other teams, St. Louis in as well. So their ballpark, by the way, again, if you live in this area, you can appreciate this. But they had their own ballpark, the St. Louis Stars did, and it was at Compton and Market Street, where Harris Stowe University is now.
Well, send your daughter to Harris Stowe.
Great spot, man.
Learn how to play baseball,
great
too.
Great spot. 1911, Maureen O'Sullivan of Quiet Man fame, right?
Quiet Man? No, you're thinking of Maureen O'Hara.
O'Hara. Well, she's
this
Irish.
This is Maureen O'Sullivan of The Day at the Races.
Oh,
Day at the Races.
Yes,
Anna.
I loved her. She's
kind of hot. Remember Groucho?
Yeah.
I saw that picture. Your mother. I'll tell you a secret. One day in the deep, dark past, I proposed to your mother. But that's my father. No wonder he turned me down. All right. See the movie.
Nice.
She's Mia Farrow's mother.
No kidding.
Yeah, she was married to John Farrow.
I didn't know that. Mia Farrow's father.
Okay, all right.
Wow.
She was also Jane in all those Tarzan movies.
Oh, the Weissmuller films?
Yeah, when they made Tarzan's mate, she was swimming in that suit,
mm-hmm.
and it was a little too risque at the time.
What's the Tarzan where Jane's actually nude in?
Well, that's the one.
I don't know.
I think she's wearing a suit, but it still didn't get past.
Was it before Standards and Practices?
The Hayes office came in.
Stupid Hayes
Sid
office.
Breen and his myrmidons.
Didn't need that.
Hey, there's okay. There's all kinds of good pre-code Hollywood stuff. Yeah. In fact, I was just watching Footlight Parade.
Uh-huh.
Great line. As long as there's a sidewalk, you've got a job. Great line, man. That was yeah, they didn't allow that after 1933.
Oh, man, that's good.
Yep.
1912, Archibald Cox, 31st United States Solicitor General.
He got the axe, too.
He kind of got fired by somebody.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Who might that be?
Dick Trickle?
Close. Dick Nixon.
Yeah.
1934, I'm sorry, 31, Marshall Applewhite, the American cult leader, the founder of Heaven's Gate.
Yeah, I guess this they're on the Hale-Bopp Comet.
They're on that Hale-Bopp, and they're
heading out of the solar system.
Good-looking Nikes.
I wonder where they are right now.
I would love to know.
I don't know about
that. That's another one. How do you explain that one at the pearly gates?
It was 20 years ago.
San Diego, California.
Probably almost Alpha Proxima Centauri by now.
20 light years if they're, it's a comet, so it's not a light year. Yeah, they're not that fast.
Nah, they're in interstellar space somewhere. Still in the heliosphere.
Yeah, I put this down because I saw Heaven's Gate, and I was like, oh, we'll talk about Michael Cimino. No, the other nut job.
No, actually, and I think that was Joseph Cotten's last movie.
Heaven's Gate.
By the way, yeah, that's a tough way to end your career.
That is. Is it really that a film, though? I've watched it.
No, it's just bad. It's not that bad. But, I mean,
it cost a fortune.
But, Mr. Cimino, read the book. It's a great book.
Made no money.
God, what was it called? Well, The Making of Heaven's Gate.
The end of the studio system or something that? Or the end of the auteur?
No, it didn't end like that. It was a little more cryptic, but it was The Making of Heaven's Gate. And, it's great about it. I talk about how he's always snorting cocaine and having, where the money was going. And nobody had the guts to tell this guy to stop spending money and partying.
God.
Yeah, he was just out of control because he just won the Academy Award.
For a Deer Hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on top of the world.
He's Hollywood wunderkind.
Right. He's going to ease
And you know what they do? They ruin studios.
They can. Unless you're smart like Spielberg and realize for every good one I'm going to make two blockbusters to keep that man in the office real happy.
Yeah, well, what it took Chaplin and Pickford and Fairbanks and Griffith to create, Cimino destroyed.
Just tore it down.
Yep.
Right there. Good book. Yeah, again, just Google
Michael. Story of the making of Heaven's Gate.
Go to our website, thisdayinhistorypodcast.com. Click on that Amazon banner. And just Google Heaven's Gate, and you will have stuff pop up. We promise you, the read is good. Armand recommends
something like that, Unbridled Hedonism or something. I don't know.
1934, Earl Morrill, the American football player and coach. Yeah, good one.
He plays Greasy, right, when he was hurt?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Did a fine job.
Did a fine job.
He still went undefeated, right?
1936, Dennis Hopper. I love him.
Speaking of speaking of guys that didn't – now, he's the one that got what's his name? The kid that was in Apocalypse Now. The black kid.
Well, that's Lawrence Fishburne.
Lawrence Fishburne, yeah. Got him hooked on heroin.
Yeah, he did.
On the shoot.
Because they were in the jungle.
That's what Dennis does. Dennis was kind of on the
house. Zap him with the sirens, man. Zap him.
I'm a little man. You don't talk to him. You listen to him.
You don't ask.
Yeah.
There are no fractions in space.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't land on a half.
Apparently, he's a photographer. You know, he's got got all the camera, but he really was a photographer. Charitable.
Okay, I'm sure he clicked the lens.
Dennis Hophead is more like it.
What a performance!
Apparently, he and Peter Fonda had some real problems with
on Easy
the
Rider.
Set. Yeah,
I can see that.
And then Terry Southern, of course, wrote that too. But anyway, he had his little cult.
Yeah,
he was good in
True Romance.
No, when he was a kid, he was good in. John Wayne killed him in Sons of Katie Elder.
Sons of Katie Elder kills Dennis Hopper.
Well, he actually didn't.
Well, he shoots him, doesn't he?
No, James Gregory shot him because it was his son. Remember, he was going to tell. Wayne's beating the crap out of him. And then he was also good in the one with Burt Lancaster, the version of Gunfight at the OK Corral with Burt Lancaster and Kirk Douglas.
Yep.
Don't make me do it, boy.
Oh, man. Hollywood legend. Oh, he died.
Yeah.
7 years ago
I'm
now, 2010.
He lived that long.
Well, he lived it right, though. You talk about going out. You talk about, Armand, extract every ounce out of it. That's
good. Well.
1955, and this guy just passed away. Happy birthday, Bill Paxton. Oh, man.
Well,
I love
him. He's young, too. I don't know what happened to him.
Weird Science as Chet, the older brother.
Oh, yeah.
All the way to Big Love, the polygamist in Utah with three wives on HBO.
He was good when he was panicking.
Yeah.
He'd say, hey, man, game over.
Game over, man. Game over.
True enough. No balls, Bill.
So damn good.
Yeah, well, only the good.
Oh, man.
Die under 70.
Yeah, I know. What a shame. And it's his birthday. Happy birthday, Bill. Man, do I miss you. Sugar Ray Leonard.
I still think Hagler beat him.
Well, that's an interesting fight to break down, and I'll tell you why. For my public speaking final in high school, I actually did a round-by-round presentation on this fight. Trying to explain.
I'm sorry I missed that.
Explaining the scoring system, but I had video of the fight and everything. The class was enthralled. They really were. Because
that was a class desperate for stimulation.
Are you kidding? Because you could make the argument. Now listen, okay? You always assume I'm against you. There is a very good argument to be made that Leonard's stealing of the first four rounds, if you go back and look.
I didn't think he won any of them.
It's absolutely debatable that he did not win any of them.
I don't know.
There are people who have come back, watched that fight for the first time and said, what are you talking about? Sugar Ray won the fight. Yeah, he put on a show.
It's very simple.
But in the 10-point must system, he was on the dancing around the edge all night.
Flurries of things. This I'm saying, the object of the fight is to hurt the other man. He never
did no such thing.
Yeah, he never
hurt. First words are out of Marvin Hagler's mouth, and I'm
it's marvelous.
Marvelous. First words out of Hagler's mouth. He didn't hurt me. He didn't touch me.
Yep.
Didn't do anything.
Yep.
I got us, and as time's gone on. And I've watched it back a couple times since then.
When we saw it. I was in Miami.
It was in 85, 86?
Yeah, it must be 86.
86.
I was in Miami, yep.
I've gone back. I used to tape fights when I was a kid because HBO or someone had shown them.
Yeah, this might have even been a pay-per-view.
I had to wait for the replay that would be a week later so I could get a tape of it because
I didn't have to.
I'd love to find my boxing tapes.
Had a rich Turkish gal that liked him, and she bought the fight for us.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
You're hanging out with a Turkish gal, huh?
Yeah, so she bought the fight.
Hold on. I've got to tell somebody.
But she was rich.
Oh, okay.
So my mom wouldn't object.
Yeah. Yeah, there's an argument to be made.
Yeah, for rich Turks.
No.
Did you see that fight in Washington? Erdogan is over there, and... The Armenians they were fighting all over the place.
Good for the Armenians.
Well, I don't know if we won, though. It looked like, boy.
Then stand up, though.
He brought his goons with him.
But stand up. It's a damn genocide. You know what happened. We all know what happened. And now you got the guy.
Well, we got problems with him now. I'm not that worried about 1915.
Well,
this guy's nuts already. I don't know. Trump will settle him down.
Sure he will. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, before he's impeached, of course.
Sure. So back to Sugar Ray.
What, there's more?
I know, I agree with you. That's
it. All right, he's a good fighter, okay? But he lost that fight.
He was charismatic.
I don't really like him as an announcer either too much. But
I don't either.
But I think he's better than the guy on Showtime.
Which one?
Oh, the guy that's... I forget his
Bo?
Name. No. The guy is...
The English gentleman?
No, he was a fighter, but...
That's what I'm saying, the English gentleman.
No, not Bo, no. He's not English. He's African-American. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, that narrows it down, doesn't it?
No.
The only lost his first fight because it was the guy that hit him was disqualified.
Yes.
He hit him. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Now I'm drawing a blank. God darn.
All right. Well, whatever. He was. I think
I love Jim Lampley.
He's getting
on
old though.
He is, but Jim's good, man.
He's all right.
Yeah. What I really enjoy and what we used to take bets on is: will tonight be the night that the losing fighter says enough and decks Larry Merchant?
Oh yeah,
That is. Yeah, remember when Floyd Mayweather gave it to him?
I never agree with him
once?
Anyway. Yeah.
Larry?
Yeah.
And you know what the guy who would do the scoring, Harold Letterman?
Yeah, Harold Letterman. That's the guy I don't
You know
agree
what his
with.
Profession is?
Lawyer.
He's a pharmacist.
Yeah, well, he narcotizes me. Shut up.
Okay, thanks, Jim. I've got a tendonitis.
Yeah, right. I never agree with that guy. I don't know what fight he's watching.
I sit there with my own little scorecard sometimes, and I look at the screen, and I'm like, Christ, he must have a different seat than what they're showing
on
TV.
Taking his payout in trade, I think. He's injecting himself.
1956. Bob Saget, Full House fame.
All right. Didn't he have one of those reality shows or one of those video shows or something?
Yeah. He's been on Entourage as well. He works very blue in his stand-up. Pretty funny.
Really?
Yes.
Well,
pretty funny.
He was
pretty dull. Funny. Oh, well, it was Full House. It was a dull sitcom.
No, I'm talking about that show with the videos.
Oh, that was pretty dull, too. Yeah. 1961, great Irish singer, songwriter.
Nice voice.
Yeah, beautiful voice. Yep. Nice looking gal, too. 1962, Craig Ferguson, who just left his post at the, well, what was that? The CBS version, the late show?
Oh, really? Why?
No.
Who the hell? I go to bed at 8:30. I don't watch this stuff.
1965, Trent Reznor born.
Nine Inch Nails,
I knew baby. It. You know what? Whose house he bought? Do you know?
Chaplin's.
No.
Lassie's.
No, he bought the Manson murder.
Oh, well.
He bought Sharon Tate's place.
Oh, okay. I'd buy that place. What do I care? You'd probably get a good deal on it. Maybe the Folgers. Maybe that place is for sale.
1970, Hubert Davis.
Don't know him.
Love him. Good player, good coach. And 1982, another great one, Tony Parker, San Antonio Spurs. Now, he was married to
don't know him.
That gal from on one of those ABC soap operas. Good looking.
They
guy.
Usually are.
Well, French American basketball
dogs on
player,
those shows.
Okay. Great. He is. Spurs are. God, they've been good for a long time. All right, final events.
But they're getting their butts kicked by Golden State.
Yeah, Golden State's a tough one.
Yeah. Well,
but they're also in the conference, finals, so.
All right.
No worries. Prince Charles, now he loved the architecture, Armand. And in London, in this date, 1984, and I'm just going to say this because I love the word, he calls an addition to the museum of the National Gallery, which is right there at Trafalgar Square.
Yeah.
And he calls an addition to it a monstrous carbuncle.
Carbuncle. That's inflamed hair follicle, by the way.
On the face of a much loved and elegant friend.
Yeah. A group of carbuncles, I believe. No, that's a... I think a furuncle is a group of carbuncles.
A furuncle is a group of carbuncles.
No, it's the other way around.
Have
a group of furuncles is a carbuncle.
Have you ever had a carbuncle?
No, but I've lanced a few.
Ooh.
It's like a boil, basically, for...
The boys in the back room here love to watch those pimple-popping
videos.
Yeah,
I know. The way they amuse themselves.
But I thought you were a podiatrist.
What are you
doing? What are you doing lancing people's carbuncles?
You can get them any. I had dermatology for a year.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Lanced all kinds of things.
That's fine. 1990, the World Health Organization, the General Assembly of the WHO, eliminates homosexuality from the list of psychiatric diseases.
Hmm.
This had been classified as a psychiatric disease until 1990. Are you kidding?
Yeah. It's in the DSM.
What is wrong with some of psychiatric
disease. Now it's classified as a sexually transmitted disease.
Homosexuality.
Yes, you can only catch it by having sex with another male. You didn't know that, did you?
I do know there was once a philosophy that there's really no such thing as homosexuality, only people who engage in acts of homosexuality. Because everyone has a degree of homosexual orientation.
Well, who's the guy that came up with it? We talked about him, who was a homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, I don't know his name. Oh, shit.
Kinsey?
No.
Freud?
No, before Kinsey. All right, keep going. I'll think of him.
No wonder. I mean, God, to 1990 to be considered having a psychiatric disease. 2006. Now, here's something you should do with old aircraft carriers. You should sink them in the Gulf of Mexico to form coral reefs. And that's what they did to the USS Oroski. Or Oriskany.
Oriskany, I guess.
Yeah, the Oriskany, which was a World War II Essex-class carrier. And they sink it in the Gulf, and now it's an artificial reef. Well done.
Okay, see? So who cares about climate change, right, and bleaching and all that nonsense?
Well, as long as all the oil and stuff's out of the boat, good stuff. And in 2007, trains from North and South Korea crossed the 38th parallel in a test run engaged by both governments. That's the first time that two trains had ever crossed the DMZ since 1953. What the hell were they test running?
Let's see if it goes faster than the shells are lobbing across the thing. I'll also add, in May 17th, 1916, the Asquith government fell, the last Liberal Party government in England.
Of the United Kingdom. It falls.
And David Lloyd George takes over.
Yep.
You didn't think it was worth inclusion. You put some stupid reef.
Yeah. Oh, it's a nice reef. You could dive on it, man. It's good stuff.
Choices are suspect, as usual.
Who died on this date, May the 17th? Well, Sandro Botticelli died in 1510. You a fan? I got
Birth of Venus, Primavera, some nice paintings, yeah.
I got a good book on Botticelli at home. It's and the photography in the book is great of his work. That makes it.
In color?
A lot of black and white.
Oh.
Yeah. Especially the sculptures. Paintings, color. 1829, John Jay, your first Chief Justice of the United States.
Yep. Also wrote like five of the Federalist Papers,
yes,
which everyone should read. You'll learn to hate your government.
I was given the Federalist Papers
perverted.
As a birthday present when I was in junior high by my father.
I don't think you've studied them enough.
No, I read them.
Well, they had no influence whatsoever on your political philosophy.
Please, they had plenty of influence.
James Madison would kick you in the groin.
He might, but, you know, I just make sure I was on the right side of the Monroe Doctrine so he couldn't come over and get me.
Is there a doctrine in the house? whose joke was that?
Well, it wasn't.
Norm Crosby? No, I forget who it was.
1875, John C. Breckinridge, the lawyer, politician.
Cabell,
yes.
Breckinridge.
14th VP of the United States.
Yeah, under Buchanan. He also ran for president.
And a Confederate general.
Yeah, 1860. Well, he won the whole South, although there wasn't enough because there were four. Let's see, it was Lincoln, Douglas, Breckinridge. Who was the lad? Blaine, I think. No, not Blaine. What was the guy's name? Oh, Bell. Bell, yeah. And you know the only state that Douglas won?
Illinois.
Missouri.
Oh, he won Missouri.
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
Lincoln won Illinois, I'm sure, didn't he?
I don't know.
He had to. Yeah, he had to because
he didn't win,
any in the South.
Well, he didn't win the popular vote at any point either.
No, but there are four guys running. Yeah,
exactly. They carved that one up pretty good.
Yeah. Of course, that's stupid. Who cares? It's not about winning the popular vote. You know that. Uh-oh.
What's it about?
It's that blank stare of yours again. What's it about? It's about winning the electoral vote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Generally,
which Trump did.
Generally, if you can win the popular vote, you've got a shot in the electoral.
Yeah, but not always. But that's the whole point.
And two out of the last five elections for president of the United States, the winner of the popular vote has not won the presidency.
That's true. There's nothing wrong with that. Bill Clinton never had. He had a plurality. He never had a majority.
He never had.
Right. Nobody's complaining about that.
I want to say his highest Armand was about 43%.
Yeah.
That's the number I had in my head. 43.
Right. So he's not legitimate? Of course he is.
That.
Okay. Well,
say that.
Well, you don't look at him. When I bring up his name, you don't give me that cyclops look of yours. Yet unibrow.
I don't know. It's time to shave again?
Yeah. Go read the Federalist Papers. It's time for that.
Okay. 1886, John Deere passes away. Yeah. The blacksmith, the businessman.
That stock's doing pretty well, by the way.
Founder of Deere & Company. It is an excellent product,
for today.
It is an excellent product.
It's doing well because of China. Those guys.
Well, they also, John.
Infrastructure.
You know, the two big, tractor and sort of
John Deere.
John Deere and Caterpillar.
Both
based here in the Midwest.
Caterpillar's doing better, yeah.
Caterpillar out of Peoria, Illinois. John Deere over in Iowa. And Caterpillar also bought a big company in Milwaukee a couple of years ago.
Harley-Davidson?
No. It's a company that does huge excavation equipment. Supersized stuff in mining.
All right. Well, you got your $1 trillion. You're probably going to get your $1 trillion infrastructure. Does that make you happy?
I don't know.
More money wasted.
What are we going to build?
Why do I always hear, whenever you hear infrastructure, what is the adjective you always hear before it? Crumbling, right? $1 trillion for our crumbling infrastructure, which is, that's such nonsense. You ever drive up to Chicago during the summer? I guarantee you can't go 20 miles without seeing some gang working on the Interstate 55, a bridge, the interstate. This notion that our infrastructure is, quote, crumbling. And then you're going to have to explain to me how putting another Starbucks in an airport is good for our economy. It's great for our economy. Give me a break.
Putting a Starbucks in?
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying.
Starbucks is full of shit. Let me tell you why. Okay?
Because Schultz is a liberal.
They're one of these companies that is incorporated, they're headquartered in Switzerland.
Well, they did an inversion.
Do an inversion.
Right.
Like, Starbucks pays no taxes in the United Kingdom.
I don't blame them. Although I hate him anyway, because that's that hypocrite Schultz. Although he's not the CEO anymore, but
now I did read the book of Starbucks customer service methodology. That's wonderful.
Well, I think they do. They have a good product. I think you can't deny that
the coffee is good.
Yeah,
but they basically ran.
Yeah, but
they ran local coffee people. Just your local mom and pop coffee shops,
right.
And
I don't know about
you
that.
You can't compete. No, in the United Kingdom,
people still. How many of those go up every year?
A lot because
how are you going to beat them?
Because entry to market is fairly easy, and because they have a lot of money but, designate.
Hey, listen, when I go on my Bumble dates, I take them to Sacred Grounds.
Good.
Right down the,
good for you.
Because they're cheaper.
They have a. You ever notice? They do what every other sort of. I hate to call it fast food.
But I like their coffee. I got to tell you, their coffee's better.
But you know, like Arby's marketing plan, McDonald's, and even back in the day, Burger Chef, for instance, wherever McDonald's went up, they knew to build next to them.
Okay. Well,
that's, you know,
that makes sense.
Every tax increment finance place in America, you can find a Starbucks in the frontage parking lot now.
But the question is, why don't you fix the tax system instead of condemning these companies that do what any company would do, because their allegiance is to profit and their shareholders, not to paying taxes. So why do we have a 35% tax
rate? Pay a little.
And then we have this stupid nonsense about Comey instead of fixing the taxes.
Pay a little.
Well, 15% is not enough for you.
No, that's fine.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. I'd say zero.
I'm very interested in the tax reform, but I'm telling
you. Although I'd love zero.
They're paying zero. They're paying an effective rate of zero in many countries.
Well, I don't know what countries have zero. The lowest is Ireland.
No, 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 no. I'm talking about Starbucks, Armand.
I know. I'm saying, what country has 0% corporate tax? I can't think of any.
None. That's what I'm saying. Starbucks, because of their deal where they basically license the product to the subsidiary, and the subsidiary, you know, pays that.
Whatever their trick
it gets
is,
them out.
I hope they all do it.
What is
good about paying taxes? I don't understand that. Why would you want to do that if you don't have to? Now, I know, you know damn well, if they lower the corporate tax to 15%, they're going to come back. All these companies are going to come back, and you're going to get a hell of a lot more money. Not only that, it's like $3 trillion is offshore because nobody wants to bring it back because they're going to get taxed again. You lower that to 10%, right there you're going to make. What's 10% of $3 trillion? $300 billion? Okay, right there. What do you want? It's a fact. As you lower tax rates, revenues go up because you're against it, obviously.
No, why? How? Obviously,
because you're enraged when we talk about companies not paying taxes. I'm thrilled by it. In fact, it made me feel better.
Good. Go get a Starbucks.
Well, I don't like Schultz.
Oh, well.
He knows nothing. He sees nothing.
Oh, well, he does. But he doesn't pay taxes, so there you go.
Right. But he's a lib.
Frederick August Otto.
August.
Frederick August.
No, there's no E on it. It's August.
Otto.
Otto.
Now, there's a palindrome I love.
Schwartz.
Schwartz. The German-American businessman.
Black? Is that what that means?
Yeah,
does that
Schwartz.
Mean black?
Yeah.
What's that? That's a pejorative term, isn't it? When you call the Jewish people call it Schwartz.
Schwartz.
For a black person.
No. That's not good.
I don't use it.
Frederick August Otto founded FAO Schwartz.
There's
your FAO.
I don't frequent that place, obviously.
Overrated toy store. Sorry.
Well, yeah, I've seen the one in Manhattan. That's
cool. That, of course, big. Tom Hanks and
Was that the one?
Robert Loggia.
Yeah,
am I right? Robert.
They play the
piano, the foot piano.
Overrated scene.
It's cute.
Stupid. Yeah,
it's cute. Come on. Penny Marshall film.
Yeah, he's all right.
1995, Tote Blake.
Piss on old time hockey.
Time hockey.
He didn't say piss on Tully. Piss on Eddie Shore. Piss on old time hockey. Of course, you knew that was coming. But anyway, this guy was on the punchline. Like him, I think it was like Richard, some other guy, and Toe Blake, and they're 1-2-3 in scoring in the league. It's only happened like three times for Montreal.
Let me think of that. That was for the Canadiens. Detroit had, what was it, the production line?
Yeah, and then but the Bruins had another.
Bruins had one. Was it Johnny Bucek was on it?
No, it was before him.
Before Bucek?
Yeah, it was long before that.
And Chicago had a good one with Hull and Makita.
Well, yeah, but this is... I don't think they're 1-2-3 in scoring.
1-2-3.
Yeah.
You know, that's
I think
impressive.
His real name was Hector. I guess his sister could say.
Even though there's only six teams in the league back then, it's still
right.
Impressive.
Yeah.
And finally, 2004, Tony Randall passed away.
Hey, he's great in those Rock Hudson Doris Day movies.
Yeah.
He was
a good guest on talk shows in later
he's
years,
he's
too.
Great.
Man.
He loves that. Big opera fan, too. Cultured
gentleman. I remember when he announced he was having a kid, and he was about
70 something.
Yeah, he was nearing 80 years old, and he got the wife all knocked up. And I thought, man, 78.
Yeah, I liked Pillow Talk though. Remember, when he's in that diner with Doris Day, and she's crying because Rock Hudson threw her over, and those big guys at the bar thought he had knocked her up, and he wasn't going to pay. Stop it! And then he slaps her. He knocked him out. not my fault.
Did you ever see him on Broadway or anything like that?
No.
Randall?
No. I saw him. The Odd Couple.
Yeah.
It was a good show. Funny. He and Jack Klugman were pretty good.
Yeah, he and Klugman. Now, who's Klugman's wife again? I thought he had a...
Was that Brett? What's her name?
Brett Summers?
Yeah. Was she married to Klugman?
No, the gal from Match Game, right?
Yeah. That's not her?
Yeah, that's her. That's weird. Your claim to fame...
He may be gay.
Your claim to fame to be on Match Game is
I think he was sleeping with Charles Nelson Reilly in the next seat.
Now, was Paul Lynn on Match Game, or was that exclusively Hollywood Squares?
Hollywood Squares.
Yeah. You animal.
Speaking of that, remember that? Paul, how many men on a hockey team? About half. He's always getting these gay jokes in. That's a great... That brought the house down, man. That's where my favorite. A lot of people, because they're always, yeah, these gay connotations, man.
See, again, as a kid watching that, flies right over my head, but I know the audience is laughing, so it must be funny.
Oh, yeah, hilarious. Hey, check him out on the roast where they roast Dean Martin.
Paul Lynn is on one of those Dean Martin deals?
The one they roast Dean Martin. Yeah.
I gotta check that out.
Yeah, Paul Lynn roast Dean Martin. Yeah, it's funny.
Oh, boy.
It's funny.
Oh,
this
boy.
Is disgusting. That's great. He's funny, man.
Man, what sitcom was he on? Was he on Bewitched?
Yeah, he was one of Uncle something. He was the Warlock.
Oh,
Uncle Arthur?
Oh, okay.
Was he Uncle Arthur?
That could be.
Well, who was?
I thought he was on a sitcom from the late 60s that you would see in reruns.
He was her uncle, but like Fox, with Bernard Fox or whatever. Oh, that was Dr. Bombay.
So he was
Uncle Arthur, yeah.
I don't know how we got onto it.
Paul Lynn.
Tony Randall. Oh, yeah, Tony Randall.
Gay people, Randall wasn't gay.
But how did Charles Nelson Reilly, what did he ever do? I only knew him as a game show person.
I'll tell you what, there was a big fight, I think, when he died because he was going to want to give his money to his gay, whatever, live-in. Yeah, I think
the
there was a
family fight.
I think there was some kind of fight over that. He's funny, too. But
oh, he was. You ever see Alec Baldwin's impersonation of him?
No, but that.
Oh, it's good.
He was.
Everyone's talking about Baldwin and Trump.
Yeah, well, I got to admit, that's pretty funny.
It's pretty good. Hey. It's very good, in fact.
Yeah, I like
but
it.
You've got, go YouTube yourself a Baldwin impersonating
right,
Charles
well,
Nelson
you,
Reilly.
You go YouTube Paul Lynde on the Dean Martin.
On the Dean Martin
Dean.
Roast. Perfect. Perfect. All right, May 17th, that's a wrap, folks. We're done. We're out of here. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, you can subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, any major podcast outlet, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast. For Armand Kachigian and our producers, Brian Kroc and Andrew Allen, I'm Tony Hubert, and when May 18th rolls around, we'll be here to tell you about it on lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.